So we're going to start off just with a little update. As many of you have known, well, a couple of years ago, we sent, or Savannah Strinke went off to YWAM and did some missions, and now she is, I think she's interning in Seattle in a children's ministry right now, so she's continuing in ministry. And when that concluded, about the same time, Cami Zern had the desire, the call to join up with YWAM. And so she just headed off last week or the week before to her actual, she had her training in New Zealand, and then she is on the mission field right now in the Philippines. And she gave us a little update that we want to share with you, and then we'll kind of wrap it into the message here this morning. So go ahead and play that.
Family, or Fanu, as we would say in Māori. I just wanted to make a video and tell you guys just how I've been doing here. New Zealand is a wonderful place, so if you all get the chance, please come here. And just this Marine Reach base, we are so blessed with everything that we have here. It's so wonderful. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you guys, like, my relationship with the Lord has grown immensely since being on my DTS, and I've just grown so much, like, as a person, and just my character and my nature has changed so much since being here. And I just wanted to let you know that, like, I'm so thankful for all the support and all the prayer that you guys have given me. And just keep you updated a little bit on what has been going on and what we're going to do coming up. So I just went through most of my lecture phase. I have one more week of lectures. And then we have outreach prep, which will be 1 week of just prepping, like, skits and testimonies to go into outreach. And then I will be leaving in 2 weeks to go to the Philippines. And in the Philippines, the first 2 weeks I get to work in the Ruol Foundation, which is it's like a kids orphanage, so I'll be working with little orphans, and a lot of them struggle with cleft lip, so just, you know, training their parents on, like, how to care for, like, those things, and just showing the children love. Yeah, and then the next two weeks, we go to a tribe with these two missionaries, and they're going to bring us to this tribe that lives in the woods, and we're going to be doing some medical outreach, like just providing aid and just teaching them about basic, like, medical skills and, like, just basic medical care. And then the next 2 weeks we go to a YWAM base in the Philippines called YWAM Baloo, and we're just going to be doing, like, evangelism and serving wherever it's needed. And then the next 2 weeks we go to another YWAM base called YWAM Antipolo, and then we're also doing the same, just evangelism and serving and hopefully some more medical aid. And how we got to the Philippines was, initially we were supposed to go to Vanuatu, which is an island nation, but we had to pray to pick which team we were on, since we have two medical compassion teams. And so I prayed about my team, and God gave me team number one. So I wrote number one on my sheet, and we found out that the Philippines was our option. So we had to pray about the Philippines too, because it was going to cost us an extra 1,000 New Zealand dollars, so that's about 600 American dollars that I have to pay, or that I would have to pay for our ticket. So we all, our whole team of eight, prayed about it, and we just felt the Lord telling us, like, this is where we're meant to be, and this is where He wants us. So then, miraculously, thanks to God, all the money came in, and we got 10,000 New Zealand dollars to, just pay for all of our tickets to the Philippines. That was all from, like, donations and just, like, wonderful support. So then we decided, you know what, we're going, like, we're following God and we're going to the Philippines. So that will be happening in 2 weeks. I'll be leaving. And then after that, we come back and we do debrief. And then I graduate. And I will not be coming home because I've decided that I would like to stay for DBS. And DBS is called Discipleship Bible School. And basically, we just go through the whole Bible, just read the whole Bible in 3 months. So I am just, right now I'm just like praying for, you know, funds and, yeah, just to help me pay for my time here. Yeah, so I will be, staying here. I won't be coming home in March. Instead, I will be coming home in probably June or July. I just am really following what the Lord has in store for me. And I know that He has called me, like being here, I know that He has called me to full-time missions. So I am officially stepping into my purpose, and I am going into the, like, I am a full-time missionary, and that is where I'm meant to be. So I just ask that you all can just, like, keep praying for me in this journey, because I don't know where God is going to take me next or where God is going to call me next. So I just thank you guys so much. And if anyone wants to contact me or message me, I would love to talk to you and just let you know about things I've been learning or any questions that you have. I would love to answer your questions, or even if you would like to call or something, just reach out on Facebook, or you can ask my mom for my number or something, or WhatsApp. So just thank you guys for all the support, and please keep praying for me. Love you all. Bye.
Praise God. Well, as the message progresses, we'll talk a little bit more about Cammie as we get into this. But let's dive into our message today. We're in a series called Slow Mo. We're doing a slow walk through the stories of Moses, and let's review last few weeks or so leading up to this point. They were freed from slavery. They were out of the bondage of Pharaoh. That had to have been pretty exciting. And then they're trapped in the sea, or right before the Red Sea, and God does a miracle that only God can do, and He parts the Red Sea. And as we learned last week, they get to the other side, and they have a worship service. They have a worship night, and they praise God over and over again for what God has done. Wow. Cloud nine, right? The next story must be giants, right? And the next story must be great victories where everyone is just following after God. Well, it's not. But we don't want to get to that quite yet. What we're going to do is we're going to skip to the end, which is where the next story should be, okay? And let's raise our expectations. So let's read. We're going to read kind of backwards here. Let's read the end of our reading for today. Exodus chapter 15, verse 27. It says, after leaving Mara, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camp there beside the water. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts today. We want to hear your message. And we rejoice, Lord, in your speaking to Cammy, Lord, and leading her and guiding her. And we do pray as a body for protection, Lord, that you continue to be with her, strengthen her. Lord, strengthen her parents. Lord, I pray that they are proud of their daughter and know that she is in your care. And Lord, this is true for all of us. When we seek after you, you are our refuge. So Father, speak to us through your Holy Spirit this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The Oasis of Elim. Doesn't that sound great? Now, Elim actually means palms. Would you put the first picture up, please? Palms. Can you feel it? Right? Can you close your eyes and feel the sun on your face and a calm breeze and the water just lapping up along the shore and birds chirping? Can you feel it? Oh, it's beautiful. The Oasis of Elim, 12 springs and 70 palms. Sounds like great resort names, right? Let's call this Resort Elim or Resort 70 Palms. 12 springs. What a glorious place. Israel must have done something incredible to deserve this, right? Man. And so what we're doing is we're looking at a snapshot of their life. Wow, God's incredible blessing on Israel to give them this. Mountains in the background. That's got to be a golf course, right? I mean, what? Oh, just perfect. But this snapshot is actually something that we do in other people's lives, right? We look at someone else, and we take a look at the snapshot of their existence. Maybe we just see them here on Sunday mornings or once a week somewhere. We look at a snapshot of their existence, and we go, how did they get there? They have it so good. Look at their family. Look at their marriage. Look at everything. I mean, oh. And we imagine ourselves sometimes in their circumstances. Man, if I had that, if I lived in that circumstance, if I had that home, if I had that job, wow, if I lived there. And it's after imagining living in their existence, we do the next thing. And we imagine, or we don't imagine, we recognize where we live. And we look right outside our window at our existence. Next picture, please. That's where we live. Went outside. And I took this picture just right outside, right? This is where I'm at. And then I squinted a little bit, put up the next one, and I zoomed in a little bit. See that yellow sign? You know what that yellow sign says? Dead end. That's where we live, people. We live in a dead end. Why do we live where the air makes our face hurt? Right? If Bob Ross was still around painting, he would layer white upon white upon white. And there would be no happy little trees because there are no happy trees in Wisconsin. They are all miserable and they are frozen. We have more darkness than we have sunlight, right? And how do we absorb sun? We take it in pill form because it doesn't rise. And when the sun is up, it is always overcast. Look at the forecast for the next week. It doesn't exist. The sun isn't out, or it will be overcast. And overcast always brings his three friends. Snowing, sleeting, and snaining, right? These are these things. And these things are always trying to kill us. Are they not? If we don't slide our cars into the ditch, then a deer will jump out of said ditch and destroy our cars. Hashtag Turtle Lake Collision Center for all your car care needs. At least someone's figured out what to do in this miserable existence that we have. Our pastimes are pathetic, right? It's so cold out there. You do deer hunting. And I know you go through this, guys. I'm not a deer hunter because I'm... Never mind. You're sitting there huddling and shivering. And the deer comes and you're looking at, do I give up this warmth to reach for my rifle? Or do I stay warm? It's not a 30-pointer, so we'll let it pass. Ice fishing. Just look at the name. Ice fishing. That makes no sense. Everything of our pastime revolves around snow and ice, right? We fish on the ice. We snowmobile on the ice. We ski on the ice. We skate on the ice. We sled on the ice. We drive on the ice. Our existence is miserable. And I find it very, 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 very easy to complain. Pretty good at it too, aren't I? And it's in our miserable existence, when we look out our front door, sometimes we ask God, why am I here and not there? I think I have another picture. It's a split. Why do I live here and not there? I want to see mountains, not miserable trees. I want to see palm trees, not water towers. I want to see flowing water, not ice. God, why do I live here? Why do I go through this? And we start complaining, God, I want what I used to have back when I lived in the South, you know, South Wisconsin, Wapaka. It was so much warmer. Sometimes we complain, I want what they have when we look at other people's lives. I want something different. I want something better. God, why am I here? And I'm not just talking location. Why am I here in this point of my life going through the things that I'm going through? But I believe God answers. And 9 times out of 10, we don't like this answer. Because God says, I have to teach you something. You have to walk through something to get that. I want to get to the oasis of life. And here at Grace, we call it the abundant life. But to get to the oasis in life, a lesson has to come first. So what's the lesson today, God? Well, let's go back to the beginning of our reading, Exodus chapter 15, starting at verse 22. Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. Boy, this is a good start to the story. Let's move out to the desert. They traveled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Let's talk about bitterness. Bitterness in our soul, in our mind, in our heart, it kills and destroys. You've probably heard the quote, bitterness is the poison we drink waiting for the other person to die. Someone hurts us, offends us, or we look at someone else who has a great oasis existence and we become bitter in our soul and we drink the poison of bitter hoping they're the ones that would perish. But it's us that's slowly dying. Have you ever been bitter? Are you bitter right now? Bitterness will destroy you. And it says they went 3 days without water. Okay, I don't know. Go back to my elementary science of how many days can we go without water? 3, right? So they are on the brink in their existence. They are in the lowest of the low. One more day, and they will be dead. And then, they find an oasis. Hope. In the lowest of low, there it is. There's an oasis called Marah. Here's the water you can drink. Oh, we can't drink the water because it's bad. It's undrinkable. That's it. It's time to die. So what do you do? When you are at that point, on the brink, lowest of low, what do you do? What are you doing maybe right now? I bet you it might have to do with the word complaining. Because we complain. Sometimes we're a mature Christian, so we don't complain out loud. But we complain. God, why? And sometimes in our complaining, we go another level and we find someone else to blame for our problem. Sometimes it's God, but sometimes it's the leader. Here, they blame Moses. Maybe you blame a father or a mother or a husband or a wife. We find someone else to blame for our bitterness. Verse 24, then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? I'm sorry, I read that wrong. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. Complaining. Why do we complain? Because we are full of bitterness and blame and anger and frustration, all of which are fruits of the Spirit, right? When things don't go according to our plan, we complain. And I think when we complain, our spirit dies. And we lose all hope. And as I said, as we read in Psalm 16, you're my heroes. Because when you gather in faith and hope, it raises everything. But when you are drowning in bitterness in the waters of Marah, you make everything around you bitter. You drag down those that you are to be a hero to. But you drag them down with your words and your thoughts and your complaints. Bitterness destroys our spirits and those around us. So we get the Cami's Urn. That's an oasis picture, right? I mean, did you see the oasis behind her? You could barely see it because the sun was so blinding through that window, but there was green, right? And she was in short sleeves. It must be warm. That's an oasis picture. She's in New Zealand, for training. And now she's in the Philippines doing missionary work. What a great snapshot. What a great existence. I mean, let's think about her family. I bet all the children rise and call Mother Blessed every morning, right? They do their chores without even being asked. They ask, Mom, what can I do to help you today on this glorious, joyous day? And God spoke to them when they were 3 years old and told them exactly what to do. And they've walked in obedience their entire... Do I have the testimony right? All right, maybe not. But that's what we think. We look at that and go, wow, I could never do that. How did she get there walking from blessing to blessing to blessing, from Elam to Elam to Elam? Well, there was Marah first. She partially got her calling. A big, significant point was on a mission trip that the youth took a couple of years ago. And I've invited John to come up here just to share a little bit. And we shared a couple of years ago. But this was a mission trip that just fell into place perfectly. But it didn't really go according to plan. John is our youth leader and went on that trip and brought some of the students. And he's just going to give a little testimony about Cami and kind of how the trip went.
As I was sitting back there thinking, I'm thinking maybe he's the oasis and I'm the Marah, and then we're going to go back to the oasis. Maybe, is that the... Okay. Mission trip testimony. As I was watching Cami's testimony, I can't help but be emotional because, as Mom and Dad and family know, like, there was Marah. It was bad. And Cami's not shy about it. Cami shared a testimony at camp. Was that last year? It was last year. Just, you know, so powerful, okay? Anyway, he said I had 4 to 5 minutes, so I'm going to keep going here. Mission trip testimony, it was 2021. So we were at camp. Camp was awesome. So many great things happening that year. If you remember 2021, a lot of us tried to block most of that out. 2020, like, everything was shut down. 2021 happens. Camp was just on fire. It was amazing. The Holy Spirit was flowing. So many students making decisions, lives being changed forever. My wife was one of those lives. You know, this was where she came to know her Lord and Savior, and she stood right here and gave her testimony. And that all happened because one of the students said a few simple words to her, and just poof, everything happened. And you could find that testimony probably somewhere. While we were there at camp, you know, we're on this high, everything's going great. Pastor comes up to me, he says, hey, we have an opportunity to go on a mission trip. We've been talking about it, we've been discussing it, about looking for the opportunity, and it here it is, it came along. And I said, okay, great, let me go talk to this guy. And it's a church from Opaca, okay, that had this opportunity. So I go sit down, I said, tell me more. And he's telling me, I said, okay, so when are we leaving? And he says, a week and a half. I'm like, oh, okay, a week and a half. All right. Now, last minute planning, that's kind of in my wheelhouse. Like, I like that. You want me to plan something a year and a half from now? Not so good, because I'm going to wait until it's a week and a half away. Professional procrastinator I am. Anyway, so we had less than 2 weeks to get ready for this. And it was like, Lord, if you want us to go, you're going to have to make it abundantly clear. It's just all there is to it. And he did. I mean, I was at camp having conversation with parents, you know, like, hey, I want to take your kids to North Carolina in a week, you know. And everybody was like, yeah, okay, you can do that. We had to, the students, they just had a week off for work. Or, you know, they were at camp, they had to have a week off. They had to ask for another week off, right? That happened. Everybody had the week off. Finances. Church. You guys fully funded the trip in a week. I mean, come on. This is crazy. Thousands of dollars just poof, okay? Transportation, accommodations. Everything fell into place. I made one phone call like, hey, I need a van to go to North Carolina. I need it for like 9 days, and I don't want to pay anything. He's like, yeah, I got you. Come get it. All right. Cammie wasn't at camp, though. Okay, Cammie wasn't there, and I knew Cammie should be there. Cammie was at Fusion Fire a few months before that, and I don't know if it was Cammie's idea to come on this mission trip or Mom's idea that she goes on this mission trip. But either way, Cammie came on the mission trip. We were excited. We knew this is what the Lord wanted us to do, and because it was the Lord's will to do this, everything went smoothly, right? No, it was terrible. Why did it take me 2 years to give a testimony about the mission trip? Because it was terrible. At least that's the initial, you know. There was challenges. The trip began, and almost instantly there was a funk in the air. Things that shouldn't matter mattered, right? Like, I'm looking at some of my students here that were on the mission trip. Some of them graduated. Like, things happened that, like, it was just like, oh, God, why are we here again? Like, why are we doing this? There was a little complaining going on about rules, expectations. You know, we get there, it's tough. Sleeping conditions. One room for 10 dudes. Yep. Showers were 15 minutes away. Like, you know, if I wanted to wash the funk off, I had, like, this much time. You know, way over there. Food wasn't great. No one really liked their work assignments. The speaking wasn't awesome. The worship wasn't great. It was hot. Did I miss anything? Is there anything I didn't cover? No, I got it all. We went a couple days like this, and honestly, I was starting to get discouraged. I was starting to feel bitterness. That's just what it was. It was starting to set in. I was frustrated that we had lost sight of why we were there. And I was also frustrated that I wasn't able to create this atmosphere that brought the students to where they needed to be. You know, this thing that God wanted us to do, it just wasn't working out. I was ready to come home. I was like, okay, so how much trouble would I be in if I just dipped? You know, like, you know, I'm sizing up their parents. I'm like, so who can I take? You know, who do I need to worry about? You know, it was tough. It was hard. Tuesday night, so every night we, after the kind of the speaking happens, we get together in this room, and as just us, there's eight of us, and we're discussing what happened today. We're discussing We're just discussing the message and what's on our minds. I remember sitting there, and I was terrible. I asked this question. We're all sitting in a chair, circle. I'm like, I know that we're supposed to be here. So why is it that I'm questioning why I'm here? And at this point, I just let them have it. Like, there had been some, like I said, complaining. I had other leaders come to me and saying, your student, like, what's going on with your student? Like, attitude-wise, and like, I mean, it was just terrible. I'm like, guys, why are we here? After I was done telling them my complaints, I'll never forget this, as long as I live. Sam, you just kind of like in a flippant, like, yeah, well, we're going to pray. Like, we're going to pray. You stood up, all the students gathered around me, put hands, and the students, but try not to cry because I'm not that good looking. I'm really bad when I cry. All the students gathered around and prayed for their leader. So then, try not, hold it together. After they were done praying, everything got magically better, right? No, it didn't. But it was a turning point. I opened up my Bible, and I don't know about that 4 to 5 minutes we're going over. I opened up my Bible. It's a lot smaller print than this one. And a piece of paper fell out. Okay? This piece of paper had 4 verses on it. Okay, the week before, I was where Ben was. I was on the computer. I was running the slides. Pastor Arvid came in and he said, "Hello, young man," because he can't remember my name. It's truth, yes. He gives me a piece of paper with 4 verses, and one of them has an asterisk next to it, okay? I don't know how that ended up in my Bible, but it ended up in my Bible. When I open up my Bible right then and there, that piece of paper falls out. I don't know why I turned to it other than just the Lord telling me to turn to it. Ephesians 6:12. It says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." I lost it. I broke. See, we weren't fighting each other. And I missed that. Like I had lost sight of who the enemy was. See, I can't win a fight when I don't know who the enemy is. See? There was a spiritual battle happening, and I wasn't prepared. I just wasn't prepared for that week. See, I was relying on this experience. I was relying on this camp is awesome, and we're where we're supposed to be, and God's making everything happen, and I was relying on that to carry me through, and it didn't. I'm not sure whose idea it was. I really don't remember. But someone said, "Tomorrow night, can we just worship? Can we do that?" And I don't know who it was. So that's what we did. So it was a long time. I don't know how many hours. At least an hour, 2 hours. We were outside. Us, 100 degrees, hot, humid, mosquitoes, singing praises to the Lord. It was great. It was uplifting. See, and I was ready to fight after that. I was ready to push back. You see, one thing that worship can do is it didn't change my circumstances. It didn't change Cammy's circumstances, but it changed our perspective. Okay? This is also where Cammy's turning point is. And these are her words. She said, yeah, so these are her words. I'm just going to read it word for word. There's going to be a few likes in there, but whatever. She says, yeah, so those first few days were like, just why am I here? So there's no point. I shouldn't be here. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't just me and her feeling this, right? Then after worship outside, everyone went in, and I stayed outside looking at the plants. I just remember seeing a leaf fall off a bush, and all of a sudden, something just like shifted in me, and the Holy Spirit brought to my head just the analogy of the bush that I had to share. in that moment, I just realized God's love is greater than anything else and anything I've struggled with in the past. It doesn't matter to him because he just wants to take it all away. Just we were this close to not having that moment. We were this close to quitting. And that's why I'm emotional when I see where she's at in church. You're part of that. You funded that trip. You sent her, and that impact of that mission trip is still continuing to this day.
So did she just arrive in Elam? Or did she have to go through Mara? Let's keep our reading going. Verse 25. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood, or a leaf, have you? Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. I'm sorry, what? I think the King James Version says it was the tree. He cut down a tree and chucked it into the oasis. And that worked? Excuse me? A leaf falling off a branch and all of a sudden something breaks? That doesn't make sense. Taking a tree and throw it in the water and makes it, that doesn't make sense. And I was starting to think, you know, we were doing slow-mo season one last year, and I think there was a theme to it, theme to that season, those stories. God saying, watch me work. Watch me, nay, nay. Watch me. Never mind. And now we're in season two. And I think God, I think there's a theme for season two. Crazy people. God's looking for crazy people. And number one is Moses. And God says to him, just chuck a branch into the water. Sure, God, that makes sense. It doesn't make any sense. God wants crazy people. So when he did that, when he took the branch and he threw it in the water, did a miracle happen? Maybe. Does God always say, just be obedient and I'll do miracles? Was it a miracle? Or was it, you're going to throw stuff at me. Someone's going to walk out here. Was it a miracle? Or was it science? All right, where are we going, Pastor Jason? This is a little crazy. I'm going to read a little bit of a commentary. Yes, it's just a commentary. I like us to think outside the box because God thinks outside the box. Commentary. In his work on the Exodus journey, Buckingham explains how this may have worked. Okay, if you can't stand science, go ahead, take your nap, okay? The chemicals in the sap of the broken limb drew the mineral content down to the bottom of the pools and left only good water on top. He further speculates that even though the waters were now drinkable, there was still a significant magnesium and calcium content in the water. The laxative effect of this would clean out the digestive system of the children of Israel, cleansing them of common Egyptian ailments such as anemic dysentery and bilharzia, a weakening disease common among Egyptian peasants, which they were. In addition, calcium and magnesium together form the basis of a drug called dolomite, used by some athletes as performance enhancers in hot weather conditions. At Mara, God provided the right medicine to both clean out their systems and prepare them for a long, hot march to Sinai. Whether it was a miracle or God used science, which he invented, God is good. And we need to be obedient to him. God is testing them in this Mara. And he's also given them medicine to prepare them for the long journey ahead of them. Cammy went on through a trial on a mission trip, right? The trip you just heard about. She went through a trial. Has she arrived? Or do you think she's going to go through more? She'll probably go through more. But here's the question. Is she now medicated against this process? Has she now taken within her the living water of God that changes us? Is she medicated against the trials that are going to be coming her way? Is she prepared for spiritually and physically? Are you? Have you been medicated for the trials physically that are going to come your way? Turtle Akins, take your vitamin D tablets, please. It's good for your soul. We don't see the sun. I got sunshine in my pocket. We need to take things to take care of us. And I believe God lays out the way how we need to take care of us. Some of you, the miracle you're looking for, God hasn't given it to you yet because he's waiting for you to drink a glass of water. Take a multivitamin. Go for a walk. Stop eating so much sugar. Drop the soda. Get a chewy multivitamin. They taste good. Go to bed early. I'm preaching. Is anyone saying amen to this? Turn off your phone. Take a break from social media. Eat dinner as a family around the table again. Have a salad. We're looking for a miracle, which God can do, yes. But sometimes the miracle is God simply looking at you and your life and your choice and saying, oh, would you just grow up? Eat your vegetables. Keep reading verse 25. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to him. He said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, obeying his commands and keeping all his decrees. And when we read that, we're thinking, oh, this must be laws and how do we, moral things, you know, Bible stuff. Then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your God. I believe when we are obedient to God, one of two things happens. One, God says, be obedient and watch the miracles I perform. Sometimes, that's all we're looking for when we are in Marah, when we are in bitterness. We're looking for a miracle. Actually, I tend to think it's not sometimes. I think it's always. When we are in that point, we are simply going, the only answer to this is a miracle. God has to do something supernatural to change all of this. That's what we always look for. But I think that there's a second thing that can be an outcome of our obedience to God. And God says, be obedient and watch how I designed the human body to work. I know this sounds a little radical, but it's not me. Because in a little bit, we're going to start reading about these laws and decrees that God puts forth. And some of these laws and decrees are a little bit strange. He starts putting a law decree about, forgive me, circumcision. There are medical positives to circumcision. He's going to start giving us laws about quarantining. Sorry if you feel like that's a bad word. If you are sick, if you're bleeding, if you have a disease, you go outside the camp for 7 days. Why? Because you're sick and you don't want to spread it. God is going to lay out these laws, these decrees to the children of Israel. Why? Does it create some miracle? No, God's like, you're sniffling. Get away from people. God's going to start laying out a rule. When you eat, wash your hands. Well, they already knew that one. But the decree is wash your hands with running water. Is there a difference? Do they know the difference? No.
Well, this is weird.
Why? Because they'd have a bowl of water and I'd dip my hands and wash, and then you'd dip your hands and wash, and then it would sit there. We know, we've been through elementary science. That's where it cultivates and grows, the fungus and all that stuff. God knows this, they don't know it. All of a sudden, they're getting healthier and healthier. Wow, it's a miracle. God's like, no, it's the science I created. It's the human body that I know exactly how it works. And then he's going to lay out diet. Kosher foods. Don't eat that. But God, that's pig. It's like heaven in your mouth. I want to eat that. Every meal. God says, no, it's not good for you. God knows what is good for your body. God knows what's good for your mind. God knows what's good for your heart. God knows what's good for your soul. He knows all of it. But we're always looking for the big miracle. Some of you are looking for a miracle. And God is just simply waiting for you to get a little more fiber in your diet. So let me wrap this up. Before you start throwing oranges. Which you should eat, by the way. Because it's good for you. So let's read our final verse again. Verse 27. After leaving Marah, the Israelites traveled on to the oasis of Elim, where they found 12 springs and 70 palm trees. And they camped there beside the water. Church, you have to go through Marah to get to Elim. You have to go through Marah to get to Elim. If there's anyone here that you look at as a superhero in your life, superhero of faith, I want their marriage, their parenting, everything, their attitude. I was reflecting a little bit of that trip as well, because when it came back, of course, we asked the kids, because two of my kids went, and I even reflect with Isaiah. A lot of you know my son Isaiah. I don't know if he's been down a moment of his life. And he looked at that trip just a little bit differently. Yeah, it was kind of hard, but no, we had a good time, you know. And I want that. I want that. But have you been through Marah? You might not know it. He's been through Marah. We look at our heroes and we see that snapshot of palm trees. We see Cammy up on there going, wow. If only I could, or if only my kids would. How do I do that? You don't. God gets up in the morning with you and says, all right, today's a lesson. And we got to go to the desert, and there's nothing good there. You've got to go through bitterness. You got to go through Marah to get to Elim. And it's good because in that season, in that Marah, either he's going to do miracles, which is all we're looking for. We're looking for that easy button. But I'm pretty sure most of the time God is like, all right, before we pray this morning, have you had breakfast? Did you get enough sleep last night? No, God, I was just up all night because all the caffeine I'm drinking. Well, stop it. Okay, but can we do this miracle thing? No. Rest today. Take a nap. Get the stimulus in your life that is making you anxious. Get the things that are feeding into your ears, depression and anxiety. Rid yourself of this stuff, church. Fill yourself with good stuff. Get your rest. Drink plenty of water. Any nurses in the house? Can I get an amen, right? Take care of yourself. Start eating right. These are the things that are so simple. And yet we sit there crossing our arms going, no, I'm waiting for a miracle. I'm waiting for God to change this thing in my life. And God's like, grow up. Be obedient to God. Trust Him. And skip the dessert today. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you today for your word. I thank you for laughter. Laughter is a good medicine. Lord, it may not be a spiritual thing, but Lord, it helps. It helps us get through another day. So I pray, Lord, that we laugh more because it's good for our soul. And Lord, for many here this morning that might be going through a desert or going through bitterness, Lord, I pray you change their perspective just a little bit today. Because I tend to think that tree in the water had more to do with common sense and periodic element table than anything else. But it was miraculous in their eyes because they didn't know science. But you do. God, you know so many things. You know how things work. And there are some here going through bitterness that really the answer just might be eating a little bit better. So Lord, if there are some here this morning, I pray you just talk to their hearts right now. Or there's some here that just need to be a little more active. Need to get a little more exercise. Lord, there are just some simple things that you're about to lay out to the children of Israel that they still have no idea why they're doing what they're doing, and not eating pork feels like a punishment. But Lord, it's life, because you know how we function, how we work. You are our creator. You read our DNA like a book. Lord, you get a download every moment of what our health is like, and you have a perfect fix for it, because you are the ultimate physician. So Lord, I pray for the practical miracles in our lives. Cured and corrected by eating our green beans. And in those cases, Lord, where the only thing can be a supernatural miracle, we want to watch you work, God. Because both the practical and the miraculous, they flow from the throne of God who loves us. And you are so good to us, God. Thank you. Thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for my heroes here in this congregation. I pray, Lord, that you bless them. I pray that they bring laughter to one another. I pray that they lay hands and pray for their brothers and sisters who might be going through things. I pray, Lord, that we're able to walk in your favor. And I pray, Lord, that we can all know and trust that you are leading us to Elim. So bless us, Father, this day, this week, and let us be a blessing to others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.